We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Today, we continue the discussion of the subject, the Holy Spirit in conversion. In Acts chapter 9 and chapter 22, we have the record of the conversion of Saul, who became Paul the great apostle, a man who later declared as an apostle that he was guided by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 1, 11 and 12, but did not receive the Holy Spirit before his conversion. It was necessary for Saul to change his religion and reverse his conscience concerning the Christ and the church before he was converted to the Christ. The Holy Spirit, about which this great man of God wrote so much after his conversion, had a part in his conversion, but did not appear directly to Saul from heaven to convert him. According to Paul himself, as recorded in Acts 22:3 and 23:1, he was a man who lived before God always in all good conscience, having been taught the law, and was zealous toward God. He was a very religious man, deeply devoted to God, but he was not a Christian at that time. After he did become a Christian, he referred to himself as being the chief of sinners before he became a Christian. 1 Timothy 1, chapter, verse 15. No doubt, this is true of many people today. Just because a person is honest and sincere and lives before God in all good conscience, may be deeply religious and devoted to a religious cause, does not necessarily mean that he is a Christian. Saul was a very honest man and zealous toward God, but he was unsaved. Then you ask, what did he do to be saved? While on his way to Damascus to persecute the church of our Lord, Jesus appeared unto Saul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul replied, Who art thou, Lord? Jesus answered, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Then, trembling and astonished, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Christ replied, Arise and go into the city, and that it shall be told thee what thou must do. Acts 9, verse 6. I ask my friend, would this not have been the most opportune time for the Lord to save Saul directly from heaven, if ever a person was to be converted by the Holy Spirit directly from heaven? But Saul was no exception. He had to obey the gospel of Christ like others. Saul waited in the city of Damascus to hear what he must do to be saved, as the Lord had informed him. For 3 days and nights he was deeply penitent and prayed. Still he was unsaved. Finally, the gospel, which one must hear and know in order to be saved, was brought to him by Ananias. According to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul was commanded, And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He was told what he must do, as previously informed by Christ. He was told, Be baptized and wash away thy sins. Almost all denominations teach that your sins are washed away before you are baptized. But Saul was commanded, Be baptized and wash away thy sins. Sins forgiven after he was baptized, according to this divine record. Baptism was essential to his salvation. Although other conditions are just as essential, baptism is no less essential. But someone may ask, was not Saul saved on the road to Damascus when he received his sight? My friends, how long will people be deceived by those who continue to pervert God's eternal truth? In this record of Acts, we have the account of Paul's call to his apostleship and the record of his conversion. Paul was made blind by the brightness of the light. Later, his physical eyesight was restored. Imagine some preacher deceiving honest people by saying Saul was saved when he received his sight, just in order to try to get Saul saved before he was baptized. A deliberate perversion of truth. Remember, Saul was told, Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Beloved, don't you know that if Saul were saved before he was baptized, the Lord didn't know it? Because the Christ said, You will be told what you must do. Don't you know that if Saul were saved before he was baptized, Saul himself didn't know it, for he was the one who obeyed the Lord by being baptized as the Lord had commanded. If Saul were saved before he was baptized, he was the most miserable saved person I've ever read about. Don't you know, my friends, if Saul were saved before he was baptized, he was saved with his sin still unforgiven. Don't forget, he was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." His sins were not forgiven until he was baptized as commanded by the Lord. He was saved by the power of the gospel preached by Ananias. He was converted to the Lord. It was Paul who later wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul received the Holy Spirit when he obeyed the gospel. The record of the conversion of the Ethiopian officer recorded in Acts chapter 8 is another example of the operation of the Holy Spirit in conversion. Here is a man, evidently a devoutly religious man, who had to change his religion to be converted to the Lord. He had been to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and was sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit directed Philip, the preacher of the gospel, saying, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Philip obeyed the Holy Spirit. He approached the Ethiopian and the chariot and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" The Ethiopian eunuch replied, "How can I except one guide me?" Philip accepted his invitation to join in his chariot, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus, the Bible says. Now, my friend, could it be possible that anyone could so stretch his imagination to think that the Holy Spirit appeared directly from heaven and converted this officer of Ethiopia? Surely it is unthinkable. The Holy Spirit was present, but at no time did the Holy Spirit directly intervene, affecting the man's conversion. The Spirit directed the gospel preacher Philip to preach the gospel to this man. If there ever was a time when the Holy Spirit might have intervened in conversion, he could well have appeared to the Ethiopian and revealed the meaning of the Word of God which he was reading. The officer stated that he did not understand the prophecy which related to Christ, and could not understand, he said, "except someone shall guide me." If the Holy Spirit would ever convert a soul by direct operation of His power from heaven, why did He not convert the Ethiopian by direct intervention? The answer is obvious. The Holy Spirit does not operate directly from heaven in the conversion of any soul, regardless of all the claims of men to the contrary. Just like every other case of conversion, a gospel of Christ, the Spirit-filled, Spirit-directed gospel, the gospel of Christ, the power of God to save, was necessary for this man to hear, to believe and obey. Philip preached unto the Ethiopian Christ Jesus. In preaching Christ, he preached the commands of Christ. This is evident in verses 35 through 39 of chapter 8. The Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now, my friends, I ask, where did the Ethiopian get the idea that he should be baptized? There can be but one answer. The man of God, Philip, preached Jesus. And in preaching Jesus, he preached the gospel of Jesus. He could not preach Jesus without preaching the gospel of Christ. No man today can preach Christ without preaching the Lord's Word. What did Jesus command as conditions of conversion in His gospel? Now I ask you to hear it, and don't misunderstand it. And I say again, are you listening? Jesus commanded, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Believe and be baptized to be saved, the Lord commanded. The eunuch declared that he believed that Christ was the Son of God. He did not make some confession of some human creed or discipline. He confessed his faith in the Son of God, and upon that confession, he was baptized into Christ, where he became a new creature in Christ. He was buried with his Lord in baptism, as pictured in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Both Philip, the preacher, and the eunuch, the man being converted to the Lord, the Bible says, went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The Holy Spirit had a part in the conversion of this officer from Ethiopia, but only through the gospel of Christ, as in every other case of conversion. The Holy Spirit directed the preacher to the man who was to be converted in this case, and inspired the gospel message that brought about his conversion. Such direct operation of the Holy Spirit was necessary during those days of miracles, because they had not received the written and confirmed gospel of Christ. But even during the miraculous days, no soul was ever converted by the Holy Spirit directly from heaven. Let us observe some conclusions about the matter. The Spirit intervened in the conversion of the man of Ethiopia, but not independent of the gospel of Christ, Acts 8, 26-39. I submit to you the following conclusions. First, the Spirit was present, but did not speak directly to the man to be converted. Rather, the Spirit directed the evangelist Philip to go and preach the gospel to this Ethiopian officer. Secondly, the sinner invited the preacher to guide him in an understanding of the truth. He said, "How can I accept some man guide me?" The Holy Spirit was to appeal to his intelligence, his understanding, through the teaching of the Scriptures by Philip the preacher. And thirdly, Philip from the Scriptures, the Bible says, preached unto him Jesus. He preached the gospel of Jesus. He proclaimed the Spirit-filled truth by which the officer was begotten. Philip preached the Lord by preaching the gospel of the great commission of the Lord. And I repeat, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Ladies and gentlemen, no man can preach Jesus without preaching the commands of the Lord. After confessing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, in obedience to the command of the Lord, the man of Ethiopia was baptized into Christ, just as the Lord had commanded. The Spirit was there. Philip was directed by the Spirit of the Lord to preach the gospel to this honest soul. The Spirit directed the evangelist on his way after the conversion of the eunuch, but at no time did the Holy Spirit speak directly to the convert or influence the decision or experience of the man's heart, independent of the teaching of the word of the evangelist. The Holy Spirit operates upon the soul in conversion today, but not independently of the gospel of Christ. Paul declared that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1, verse 16. Now, briefly, another case. Cornelius, a devoutly religious man, was converted unto the Lord by the gospel of Christ, proclaimed unto him by the Apostle Peter. But someone inquires, did not the Holy Spirit fall upon Cornelius and his household and convert them? No, beloved, the Holy Spirit never at any time came directly to anybody to convert them. It is true the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and his Gentile household, and for a very specific purpose, namely, to prove to Peter and the other Jews that the Gentiles were subject of the gospel as well as the Jews. The miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit was administered by the Lord to the Gentiles in the case of Cornelius to establish the fact that the Jews on Pentecost of Acts chapter 2 had no special privileges over the Gentiles in the Lord's kingdom. You read that in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 47, and 11, 15 through 18. A more detailed discussion of the baptism of the Holy Spirit will be presented later. Cornelius was begotten by the Spirit through the Word of God, which was proclaimed by Peter. Although he was a devoutly religious man, Cornelius was an unsaved man. He was informed by the angel, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Now listen carefully. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved?" Acts 11:13-14. When Peter was convinced that Cornelius was a subject of the gospel of Christ, he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:47-48. Cornelius was told to get Peter, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved?" Now, being convinced that both Jews and Gentiles are subject of the gospel of Christ, and seeing that they were believers in Christ, he concluded, "What was I that I could withstand God?" Acts 11:16-17. He therefore commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, as you read in verse 47 of the 10th chapter of Acts. The heavenly messenger did not tell Cornelius the sinner what to do to be saved, directly from heaven, but through the instrument of the gospel preacher Peter, who was to speak unto him words whereby he and his house might be saved. This is the conversion of a man whose prayer was heard, but the Holy Spirit did not descend upon him and save his soul in direct answer to prayer. Neither does the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit have any relationship to his salvation from sin. This miracle of the gift of the Holy Spirit, although wrought upon Cornelius, was not for the purpose of changing Cornelius, but was for the benefit of Peter and the other Jews. We usually determine what a thing is by what it is made use of. Here is a man, Cornelius, a very good man, a devoutly religious man, but a lost man, until he heard the word of the Lord and obeyed the word of the Lord. Obedience to the gospel of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is essential.